kind of been grinning to myself for about the past week and a half since I saw what this reading would be. And I don't know for those of you who have actually come to confession to me before, I've actually thrown this out there kind of as a way of getting a bonus blessing, or at least, you know, a star after your name when it comes to everything. Because a lot of times, one of the things that happens when people come to confession, especially those who haven't been to confession for a while, think that the act of contrition that they learned when they were kids, or the ones that they picked up recently in catechism, is the only act of contrition there is. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you, and I don't know if you all know this, because not many people do, but there are 19 different official acts of contrition when you go to confession. And as a matter of fact, the easiest one just happens to be, and I'm going to give you a guess at this one. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So if you're ever in a pinch and you just need something to see, forget everything else, just go there. But in many ways, you know, sometimes that difficulty that people have with that is actually really what's at the heart of what Jesus is talking about today in this particular gospel. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in what it is we're doing that we can forget why it is that we're doing it. You know, when we look at the examples that we have in today's readings, you know, our first reading does this wonderful thing about, you know, talking about what God is actually looking for and what he gets excited about when we bring it to him. You know, and then we fast forward and we can see in the gospel, you know, this idea that the person who looks good and holy, who probably was a good and holy man for the most part, but who kind of lost sight of what was important as he was talking about. And then we get to this tax collector. We get to the person who was, and in Jesus' day, brothers and sisters, you know, well, okay, for all of you who work for the IRS, I'm sorry I'm about to say this, but tax collectors, even in today's world, are not the most favored people on the planet. But especially in, and they do an important job, don't get me wrong, but especially in Jesus' day, they were known to be corrupt. They were known to have many, many problems because they didn't have a salary. Brothers and sisters, the way they made their living was to overcharge on the taxes. They knew what whoever the district they were in charge of collecting taxes for, they knew what was expected of them, and anything they collected over and above that was given to them as their quote-unquote salary. So, I mean, can you imagine what that would do to people, even in today's world, what that would do to the folks who work for the IRS? Can you imagine what your taxes would be? You know, but as we go through and we look about it, you know, as sometimes we can see, and even in the eyes of Jesus' contemporaries, you know, and the people of the time, you know, they might want to look and they might want to see a bad person. But what Jesus is trying to get across is that when we enter that confessional, when we start, you know, talking and praying to God, God sees a sinner as a person who's probably made some bad mistakes, but also someone who needs to be healed and needs to understand that, you know, they can be restored by God's loving presence in their life. And sometimes we can forget that. You know, the tax collector, I mean, undoubtedly he's a sinner and he admits it. And he knows that by himself he can't do anything. You know, he can't change unless God comes to his help. Ergo, this idea, you know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what he's really saying, is God help me be a better person. You know, and if we can approach our sacramental life, especially, you know, when we start talking about communion, if we can make that what's more important, I think it'll work. You know, I think sometimes people, when they lose sight of this, is, you know, and these are a few of the most tragic things sometimes that happens when people lose sight of that and they go to confession, is that, you know, they first of all, they might think that they really don't need God in their lives. You know, I mean, the Pharisee in this thing might have been a person like that. Who knows? He might have thought, hey, I'm doing all this by myself. I'm out there, I'm doing this, God's not helping me out. Or, you know, unfortunately, to fast forward that a little bit more to today's life, you know, there are all kinds of fallen away Catholics and all types of people out there who think, oh, I don't need God, I don't need his forgiveness, I'm living just fine, I'm doing great. You know, and then there's another type of person, you know, some of the people that I think really lose sight of this are, you know, when they're asked, you know, what are your sins? You know, they just can't think of anything sinful that they've been doing in their lives. you know, present or past. I'm perfect. I'm great. Come on, brothers and sisters, I'll be the first to admit, you know, I'm hoping for about a billion-year stretch in purgatory, because I know I am not the holiest person out there. I've been called to do a holy thing, but I understand, you know, that I am, by myself, not a holy person. I'm a knucklehead just like everybody else. I need that reminder that God's there to help me and God's there to fulfill me. And then there's, and this is probably the saddest one of all and the most difficult one and the one that I wish somehow I could come up with the magic words to help, and that's the person who thinks that God doesn't or even can't love them, you know, because they've done something so terrible or so shameful, you know, that they just feel that there's no forgiveness. You know, and if you've ever been to confession to me, you've probably heard me say, you know, remember, brothers and sisters, the one thing that Jesus did not say from the cross was, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, all except for Father Mike, because he's the biggest knucklehead who's ever walked the planet. You know, I mean, he meant it. He really did. He knew what he was doing on the cross. Brothers and sisters, don't think that somehow, you know, all of the mistakes and all of the difficulties that we faced have somehow slipped past God's notice. You know, God knows everything that has happened, will happen, and is happening now. And the best part about it is that he did it anyway. He sacrificed himself for us anyway. You know, and awareness of our sins, you know, can help us also when we get in touch with the fact that we need help, that we need God's love and God's forgiveness. It can also help us be far more compassionate and understanding to those around us, you know, in their sinfulness and their weakness. You know, it's hard for me to judge someone, you know, as a sinner, knowing that I'm just as guilty. Maybe, you know, to be honest, my sins are probably different. But I hate to say it, and this, you know, for those of you who are thinking about becoming priests, we know better. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, I think we ought to be held to a higher standard. You know, I mean, you can't sin if you don't know what you're doing is wrong. And let's face it, with the educations that we get as priests, we know when we're doing something we're not supposed to be. But, you know, the reminder is that God's always on standby to help us out. You know, when we look at today's reading, this first reading that we had today, you know, it says, the humble man's prayer pierces the clouds. The Lord will not be slow in coming. Brothers and sisters, if we can admit that we need help, God is there for us. And I think St. Augustine is someone who actually says this quite very well, you know, and really drives home what we're talking about in today's gospel. The thing that what we actually see St. Paul in the second reading doing. You know, there's one way you can read that. You can see that he, you know, it might sound like he's bragging, but he's really not. If you read the rest of Paul's writings in the New Testament, you can see that he admits all of his mistakes all the way through. And what he's saying at the end of his life, when he's awaiting his death, is he says, you know, I can rest. I've tried. I've done everything that I can. But more importantly, I've asked God to help me. And I've accepted his grace and his love and his forgiveness so that I could do some pretty amazing things in his names. And, you know, that being the case, I'm not probably, or I imagine he wasn't particularly crazy about the idea of what was going to happen to him, but he's like, you know, I can face that knowing that I've taken the love and the forgiveness that God has given me and I've done something important with it. But anyway, you know, when we look at St. Augustine, you know, he just wants to remind us that how useful and necessary a medicine is repentance. People who remember that they are only human will readily understand this. And just as a reminder, it shows up in more than one place in the gospel. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, brothers and sisters, when we can be humble enough to admit that we're not perfect and that we need God's help, and if we look for it, it'll be there. It'll be there in ways that we've never accepted. So as you go about your, as you go about your weeks and you think to yourself, where are those places where I'm sheltering or where I'm thinking that I can handle everything without help? And then take another, you know, take kind of a step back and say, okay, God, where can you help me with this? And see the amazing things that can happen.